Okay, so it is 2 p.m. on a Monday, and this is Lee Fraser with Queer Quarks, a queer talk and music show about a range of queer media, pop culture, and current events. So, today I'd like to revisit a topic I started last week. Actually, I'm going to recover it, because I don't feel my conversation around it was cohesive enough that I want it stored in the archive of the show, because it's an extremely important number of topics that I covered last week, and I really want to do that right. So, one of the things that's important to how I'm approaching the show this month is that it is Black History Month. And so this means that this is a great time to highlight Black people who are LGBTQIA and also some of the issues that Black people and other people of color face within the LGBTQIA community, which is certainly a not insignificant amount of hatred for the color of their skin to start with. So, this is also an exciting time in Canada in general, and though this is not queer related, it's super exciting to see Viola Desmond depicted on the $10 bill, and I'm so excited. My aunt sent me a copy of the new $10 bill right away when it came out, and I framed it, and I'm going to keep that forever. So it's amazing to have a woman on the $10 bill, the first non-royal woman, so the first woman who's not the queen, to be on a bill that's in circulation, regularly circulating, and the first Black person to be on a Canadian bill. And this has certainly been a long time coming. So that's one of the things that's personally exciting to me about Black History Month this year. And in general, I want to talk about some of the issues that face the Black community within the LGBTQIA community, so an intersection of those two things. So today I want to talk about the flag, and I want to talk about a couple of resources that I think are useful for exploring Black rights within Canada and within the queer community, resources I've been using to explore and further my knowledge during this time. And I also want to spotlight an amazing Black cosplayer that I follow who was an example of allyship that I wanted to mention and didn't get a chance to in my previous allyship show. So, first off, I'm going to play some music. And there is an article on Pride.com titled 12 Black LGBT Artists You Should Listen To by LaTonya Pennington. And so this can be a good starting place in terms of your appreciation of Black History Month and of the LGBTQIA community to get started by listening to some excellent music. So the first thing I'm going to play is You Make Me Feel Mighty Real by Sylvester.
We're out there.
So that was Sylvester with You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. And I want to say something before I go on to my topics about also music by queer LGBTQIA people and how it is actually pretty easy to find. And when I initially started looking for music by artists that would fit my theme for this month of shows, It seemed like there was it was a small intersection. It seemed like there might be a difficulty finding them. That was kind of my expectation. And I actually don't usually put too much time into finding music for the show because I find lots of music and I have a huge backlog. And that should have told me, too, that my expectations would be wrong in this sense. I thought it might be hard to find queer artists in other ways when I started the show. Since, ironically, for doing a show that also features music, I'm not really much of a music person in general, or I wasn't before the show. But interestingly, it was not that difficult to find a number of amazing artists. And interestingly, too, when I have looked for queer music before, these artists didn't show up on those lists necessarily. So it was not hard to find LGBTQIA people who are Black, who are performers, who make music. When you're looking for that specifically, thanks to the wonderful efforts of a number of people who have put together articles like the one I'm drawing from today, 12 Black LGBT Artists You Should Listen To on Pride.com. So people have made the effort to put together lists, and there is a Spotify playlist called Black, Queer, and Proud that you can go and listen to, and I'll draw from that throughout this month as well. So I appreciate the efforts of people who have put together articles that feature these artists, but it's also extremely noticeable to me that until I was looking for this specific intersection of characteristics in an artist, that they didn't necessarily show up when I was looking simply for queer artists. So this can tell you that there's some exclusion going on in how artists are chosen to appear on, say, lists of LGBTQIA performers, and about who becomes visible when we feel that we're not looking for specific inclusion. Sometimes people object to diversity, which I'm going to cover in talking about the flag in a sec here. And this can tell you, though, that one of the huge purposes of prioritizing diversity is that if we don't specifically do it, it doesn't just happen. If we say that, you know, oh, we're just going to put together a list of queer artists and we're not going to look specifically to make sure we have people from different areas, we'll just draw in general, you might end up drawing mainly white artists. And there's a lot of white artists that I see on different lists. And in general, I think that unless you're prioritizing making sure that certain groups become visible, it is much easier to leave them out. And partly because of the attention that is paid to artists with different characteristics, partly because of internal biases and what we might be familiar with and what kind of music might appeal to the people who are in charge of making most lists. There's a lot of reasons why. Anyway, this month, being Black Pride Month, gives me an amazing opportunity to listen to all sorts of artists that I haven't heard before. And so this has been a great reminder to feature more variety of artists on the show, and I'm going to be drawing from some of these resources for ages, so it's very exciting for me. So before I talk about some resources, the first thing I want to talk about is the flag. So you may have heard that there's some new pride flags around, and so one of them is a flag that has a black and brown stripe at the top. Now this was adopted in Philadelphia. And it's something that's created a lot of diversity, a lot of backlash over this diversity. So when you add something to an established symbol, often there's opinions about it. But this particular backlash and reaction tells us a lot about who is centered in the queer community and about the amount of pushback that people of color face and that black folks face when they attempt to shift that focus out of the group that is accustomed to having it. So the stripes on the rainbow flag would usually be thought to represent a diversity of the community, and that's why some people have objected to adding black and brown stripes to it. But one of the reasons why the black and brown stripes were added to the top of the Philadelphia flag, and you can find an article on this on Vox.com, is that specifically the LGBTQ community as a whole tends to exclude black and brown folks. So this means that the inclusion of them as stripes in the flag is a way to specifically refocus our attention to fuel an important conversation on race and on racism within the LGBTQIA community. And as I always think of when there's a change like this, they're not painting over the new flag. Like, they're adding to it, creating a new symbol, and people who are responding to this very violently are really showing their feelings by that reaction to it. You know, they're not going to go out and seize your rainbow flags and put black and brown stripes on top if you don't want it. Don't worry, like, everyone will know that you don't want those stripes on your flags as you continue to hold on to yours or continue to voice your opinions about it. But Philadelphia's Pride campaign specifically added the stripes to their flag because of racial issues within their gay bars in the city. So there's specifically reasons why they use this to respond to the problem. And the backlash within the community tells us a lot about the people who are part of the problem. So there's a lot of controversy over focusing on the other intersections of identity that affect folks within the LGBTQIA community. And some of the objections, for example, too, to adding black and brown stripes to the flag reflect the idea that, well, you know, it's just about your pride identity and these are adding other dimensions to it. But black people who are also queer can't be just about one part of their identity. Like, you don't take off your queer identity and drop it on the ground before you, you know, walk in to have a conversation about your racial identity. That's not a thing that happens. Audre Lorde said something around people not living single issue lives, and I think that that applies here, because any attempt to suggest that the queer flag is just inclusive of everyone and doesn't need to acknowledge any other issue that affects our community sort of suggests that any other issue is external to our community, and it's not. If you are a person of color in the queer community, your racial issues are something that affect you. So if we're not supporting people of color, then we are not supporting all queer people. We're choosing which queer people to support. We're saying queer is a dimension of identity, demands our support only when you also are not marginalized by another factor. I have a lot of feelings about the response to this flag, but I think that I'd like to direct you to a couple resources of people who have commented on this, because there's a lot of reflection from different authors online about what it means to have this type of response to a simple change to a flag. So, for example, if you go to gaystarnews.com, the adoption of the flag in Manchester has triggered some feedback on who doesn't like the new flag. And people have been very angry about adopting the flag. And generally speaking, the people who are angry about it share some characteristics. So these can be, depending on how you look at them, positive or negative. But there was a poll last year, and this is listed in the Gay Star News article that you can find, titled Manchester Pride Adopting the New Rainbow Flag. And they found that gay men and older LGBTI people were most opposed to adding the black and brown stripes to the flag. So the poll had surveyed 880 LGBTQ Canadians. It was part of a bigger research study on LGBTQIA people. However, even though it's cited, of course, on the article about Manchester adopting the new pride flag, this is an American one, so this does give you an idea of the backlash within America, but I don't think that within Canada, for example, or the UK, that the backlash is coming from significantly different areas. That would be my opinion. And they found that of the 880 people surveyed, 58% opposed the addition of black and brown stripes in the pride flag, while 42% supported it. Doesn't say whether they included a neutral option or who chose not to answer it. But this is really interesting, because why would you oppose it? It's such a small change. It's not a big deal. And again, like, there's tons of symbols and rainbow flags that are around. I'm sure people will keep printing plain rainbow flags. Like, there's not a lot of reason to oppose it. The most opposition came from gay men and those over 50 in general, with both of those groups opposing the new stripes ranging from 70% to 30%. 70% of gay men and people over 50 are not a fan of including race as an element of the flag. To remind us to refocus our attention on the people of color in our communities, the black and brown folks who are facing racism in our gay spaces. I wonder why this group, who probably comprises some of the racism, is not supportive of that. White people also oppose the change. When we look just at white people as a demographic in the poll, 62% oppose the change compared to 38% in support of it. So, people of color narrowly did support the change in the flag with a rough half and half, 52% in support. And queer and trans people, 64% of them supported the change. So, lesbians and bisexuals in general tended to be more supportive of the new flag. And if you're noticing a trend within the percentages that I'm giving you, it might be something to pick up on that groups that faced marginalization upon a different characteristic were supportive of adding the black and brown stripes to the flag. People who were trans, for example. People who were lesbian or bisexual, women, often are marginalized based on their gender identity, and those people were more likely to support it. So, it's interesting that we can see a lot of the division within the queer community and a lot of where some of the issues might be coming from by the divide on the flag. Now, racism is still a huge problem in the queer community, and I've talked about that before and how blatant people feel they can be about it. When they put things on a Facebook group for gay men, for example, that I talked about in the past, that explicitly say, no black men, no Asian men. So anti-black racism is extremely common within the LGBTQIA community. There's a lot of bars that had been accused of racial discrimination. In the movie Stonewall, for example, that came out in 2015, that looked at a very iconic event within queer history, they portrayed a white man at the center of the movement that sparked a change in gay rights within America. And I say gay rights because people who had different identities and non-binary and trans folks were essentially left behind by that movement, but they were actually at the center of starting it. So the white man shown in the movie is throwing the first brick is not actually the person who threw the first brick. So the person who threw the first brick was a black trans woman. And so it's super interesting that Marsha P. Johnson is taken out of the center of that narrative, removed, and she's not given the credit that she deserves in that movie, and that the refocus goes to a white gay man. So it's interesting what we can see from some of these smaller issues about the bigger issues of racial discrimination within the LGBTQIA community. And it's exciting, though, to see that there's lots of people working on it and writing on it and bringing it forward as an issue. And one of the, you know, common characteristics, though, in this, too, is that it is activists who are people of color. It is black activists, for example, who bring up the anti-black racism within the LGBTQIA community. And that really needs to change because, like any other marginalized group, the weight of working against what they face shouldn't be on the people who are affected by it. So they shouldn't have to make the change that gives them equal treatment within the community while also dealing with the unequal treatment. That's an opinion I hold in many respects, is that if you're not a member of a marginalized community, it's your responsibility to do something about it, because it will be easier to do something about it since you're not in the position of being marginalized. For example, it's the responsibility of cisgender folks to stand up for trans people, because trans people are already facing their own oppression and they shouldn't be also tasked with the work of correcting it, for example. And Marsha P. Johnson should never be denied the incredible role that she held in the gay rights movement in America, and what she started and what she began and all the other work she did with throughout her life. So I've talked about Marsha P. Johnson a little bit before on the show. including about some of the different documentaries made of her and how respectful they are of her work and of the different activists who worked on them. So if you're interested, go back through the archive to look for those. But in addition to the new flag that has black and brown stripes at the top, there are some other flag options. And so I'm going to tell you about a couple of the other options. And one of the reasons is that I personally really like some of the other options, simply because the black and brown stripes are meant to be on the top of the rainbow flag on the reboot of it that's being used in Philadelphia. And one of the dangers to me there is that people might use it upside down. And so the black and brown flags are meant to represent, here is our focus, here is what is important in the community. And people have who have opposed it have said, for example, they're ugly, I don't want them there. And someone responded really well in one of the articles about the flags saying, if they're ugly and you don't like seeing them, then they're standing out and getting your attention, which is important. Now you can maybe direct that attention to the issues of racism within the queer community, which is the whole purpose of including them on the flag. But anyway, my issue with having them at the top like that is not that I don't think they should be there, but that some of the response to it, especially people who are denigrating the appearance of it and don't like black and brown in with their rainbow colors, might mean that people, for example, hang the flag upside down. And that would be a really ironic statement about putting black and brown people at the bottom of our communities. So if you do use that flag, do make sure that you hang it the right side up. But there's a couple of other design options that have come up. So Daniel Quasar made a new flag and has a Kickstarter campaign that was a redesign, also started out of the 2017 rainbow flag that came out in Philadelphia. So extra black and brown stripes are present on this flag, but there's also some other colors that are introduced to it. So his flag moved the black and brown stripes to the side to really highlight their presence in the flag and draw attention to them. And so they are moving in from the side in a triangle formation, and then the blue, pink, and white of the trans flag is behind them. So I do like this idea because I also like that it centers trans folks on the flag who are similarly excluded from the community. And to me, it also draws attention to a very dangerous intersection of identity, which is trans women of color, for example, who have, as I mentioned with Marsha P. Johnson, often been at the forefront of defending our communities and advancing our rights, and have themselves been left behind. And instead of celebrating their amazing identities, their rights have been neglected, their contributions have been neglected, ignored, or erased. And so I personally think that it's really nice opportunity to have the trans flag in there as well, and give us an option for drawing our attention to trans people. However, there was a Puerto Rican designer who objected to Daniel Quasar's new flag, and that was because it was a bit close to what's typically used as the Puerto Rico pride flag. So I learned a lot about that actually while looking into flags. And so there is a new flag created by a Puerto Rican activist, Julia Feliz, that uses the stripes slightly differently in order to not be that close to the Puerto Rican pride flag. So the Puerto Rican pride flag is modeled on the flag of the country with the rainbow flag incorporated, so kind of like the rainbow Canadian flag where the red of the edges and the maple leaf are just replaced with a rainbow. The Puerto Rican pride flag was designed and copyrighted in 2000, so it has been around for a while. And so it's a rainbow, and then it has a dark blue triangle coming in from the left, kind of like on Quasar's flag. Well, not kind of like, it's a triangle coming in from the left. It's exactly like it. And then a star. So it's a combination of the Puerto Rican pride flag and the rainbow flag. So I wasn't aware that it was used. Daniel Quasar said he wasn't aware it was used, though I do think there is some, certainly some credence to activists' objections to his use of his flag, in that if you're trying to redesign a new pride flag, you might have a reason to look into different pride flags that are being used. So Julia Feliz was approached by people within her community to design a new flag that was promoted unity in the centering of black and brown people and trans people without infringing on the Puerto Rican pride flag. So some activists have said that they feel that the flag is a bit of cultural appropriation with having that triangle in from the left side. And so Feliz's flag is, again, the rainbow as the basis, and then across it diagonally, there's the black and brown stripe, and then blue, pink, and white. So this one's actually become my favorite. I do like the arrow aspect of Daniel Quesar's flag, but I don't think that I would really be able to ignore the fact that that there's an existing rainbow flag that has those similarities, and that anytime that someone tells you that there is an element of cultural appropriation and there's lots of other options, there's not really another reason to continue using the design that's been objected to. So that's my opinion on using the flag, and I'm going to look for Julia Feliz's design and ways to support that one. So there are some new options, and of course there are the people who don't like them and the fact that brown and black people exist in general. So there are racists, and there are racists within the LGBTQIA community. So I'm going to play another song, and when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about some more reactions to the flag, and then I'm going to talk about some resources that I wanted to direct you to for Pride Month, and an ally shout out, and then a contribution of a mother to Black History Month that has really just stuck in my mind this whole week that I want to talk about. So much to say, so much to have going on in this month. So I might have to extend this and into the next month, because February is the shortest month. So why choose that for Black History Month? We need a longer month. So I'm going to play you Get Dressed. And this is from Twilight for Gladys Bentley by Charlotte Ammons.
Yeah, get handsome how we like. Learn them all, them young dykes. Aiming to up they Bentley from average to envy. Cause tonight, daddy, you ain't just in it. You are the life. And when you exit, I'll be waiting restless. Stage right, stage right, stage right.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on, Gladys. Today I'm wearing armor in honor of my father. Tomorrow overalls for my aunts, my mama. Tonight I'm wearing tighties for my wifey because she liked me. In my man panties and my white tee. So when I'm stage centering, it's really not about me. Gaze upon the crowd, the many smiles say they like me. Is it a God complex? Yes, slightly. And am I superficial? Well, I might be, but doubt it. Enjoy Dash or Wrangler. Skinny denim is dangerous. Unzip. So when the world tries to strip us naked, and it will, we got a legion of fashionistas dressed to kill. We look great chilling, but damn if we content. We dance pants, pockets of filth, pump the fist, and fidget and grind new styles to invent. Jeans sullied and ripped. To put a spin on the denim, middle finger to the system adorned in crushed linen. Yet we can't get crushed, cause Gladys Bentley living off too much. So get dressed up.
Clean shirt, skinny tie, fedora tilt to
so get dressed
side.
Up. So get dressed up.
Bentley Steve,
Gladys
kicks.
Bentley.
We love how you do
so get dressed
it.
Up. So muscular, making MCs have to toughen up, leaving them two choices, so what's up, either step it back or step it up, 1 minute shit testicular, you particularly insular, I'm on point like peninsulas, your rhymes just make no difference, I'm licorice, no absence, so amorous yet venomous, a bona fide intoxicant, leave an audience stripped and pantalous, audacious, agile, scandalous, prohibition couldn't prohibit this, so much swag has just acquiesced, I'm holy with deliverance, no need to convert or convince, my rhymes speak volume, silencing, young MCs playing with grown women, you think you thought should think again, you think you thought should think again, you think you thought should think again, yeah.
Shirt, skinny tie, fedora.
So get dressed up, Gladys, Bentley, so get dressed up,
Bentley Steez, fresh kicks, we love how you do.
So get dressed up.
So that was Charlotte Ammons with Get Dressed. And the title of the album, Twilight for Gladys Bentley, really touches on the content for the song. And if you haven't heard who Gladys Bentley is, she was a performer who really had some amazing gender-bending outfits of the time. I mean, suits, ties, kind of like Janelle Monáe style, but in a really like very classic, very time. Oh, I don't even know how to describe it. You know, when there's things that just look like an amazing representation of the history of the time that they were at. That's Gladys Bentley, and pretty much everything she's worn, every look that she has as an entertainer. So I'm going to talk about her next time, but if you get a chance, look her up. She's amazing, and I love that Charlotte Ammons wrote an album that is called Twilight for Gladys Bentley, and that the content of the song, and if you go and watch the video, really just capture just kind of who she was in a way that I think is, it's hard to replicate in an article or something. It's really the perfect medium for it. So I wanted to talk about a few more reactions to the Pride flag that has those new stripes. And I'd like to draw your attention to an op-ed on Hornet.com, called Here's What Queer People of Color Hear When You Say I Don't Like the New Pride Flag. Because this really breaks down responses to it in a way that I think will make sense to most people. So a lot of objections are, oh, the flag already represents everyone, for one. Well, obviously it doesn't, because we have a flag for our community, and then we have people in our community who we shove to the edges. So I think that if we had a flag that truly represented everyone, people wouldn't be asking to add to it. So what you really mean is, I don't think that the addition that you want is important. So, some of the sources in the article helped highlight how much discrimination there is against the queer community, and specifically how the new flag in Philadelphia was adopted because of the fact that there was so much racism. So, people who say that it's fine as it is and doesn't need an addition are ignoring part of the point of the new flag, which is to draw attention to the fact that the community is not fine as it is. A second objection that is covered in this article is LGBTQ people are all minorities and we can't divide the community by including some specific identities on this flag. Focusing on the specific issues that face one part of the community is not saying the other parts don't exist or are not a part of it. Another response to this would be the black and brown flags are added to the rainbow flag. The rainbow is still there. Nobody is dividing anything. They are adding onto it two stripes that highlight that certain people who are part of the rainbow are being ignored and pushed out of groups and discriminated against and facing a lot of racism. So, if you're concerned that a new flag is dividing us, perhaps you should be more concerned about the racists that are dividing us. The latent structural and institutional racism that faces people who are already at a disadvantage because of their queer identity. The fact that there are many of us within the LGBTQIA community who have lots of white privilege and are not necessarily reflective on what that means for our identity in queer spaces and how we can take them over. So, we need to do work on this, and that's what that new flag says. And if you don't like seeing it, maybe that means that you don't want to acknowledge that the community is already divided. So, the article covers some other issues and reasons why there aren't really good objections to this new flag, and I think it covers it really well. So I really suggest that you look this article up and that you take some time to really understand, regardless of your position on the new flag, how queer people of color feel about it. So the article is written by Daniel Villarreal in 2018, and really, I mean, on anything that represents and draws attention to a specific group in our community, if we're objecting to it and you're not a member of that group, you need to understand why that group thinks that it should be there. So I really strongly recommend, if you have any objections to the new flag, that you hold on to those and don't rush to object before you hear how the people that the flag is intended to benefit feel about it. So there's reasons that it's there. It's super ignorant to dismiss a new addition that's being requested, especially for things like, oh, well, it's not needed, because that is so condescending to the people who have obviously said it is needed. So that suggests that somehow you know more than them, or their objections aren't really enough. Oh, I have strong feelings about people who object or say something's not needed when they are not the people who are asking for it. So obviously they think that the people who are asking for it or saying it are needed are somehow less important or less intelligent than themselves. Strong feelings. So before I move on to talking about some resources that I want to direct you to for Black History Month, specifically resources that can help you get to know Black queer history and Black queer history within Canada, I want to highlight one person's representation of Black history and how gorgeous this effort was. So on Facebook, you can find a page that's called DeShanna Neal. That is the page of a mother of a young Black trans girl. And she wrote a gorgeous post talking about her daughter and her place in Black history. So she starts the post by saying, "My Black history sleeps in her bed right now. She said she was a girl by 3. She lived fully as herself by 4. She was the first trans minor to be fully treated for gender dysphoria at Delaware's Children's Hospital by 9. Became the first trans minor to have Medicaid cover all aspects of transition by 12. And this action allowed other low-income trans and gender non-conforming youth to have their services covered by Medicaid, so a landmark choice. She was featured in the National Geographic Gender Issue, again at 12. She met President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama at age 12, and Michelle told her she was beautiful. She was the first trans minor to get Medicaid to allow her to start cross-sex hormones before the age standard that's often used to restrict youth from cross-sex hormones, so 13. She was the first trans minor to utilize Delaware's new birth certificate amendment law by 13. She spearheaded an idea for Delaware's new first youth LGBTQ pride festival by 14. She's a reason they have a pediatric gender clinic. She's going to have a book come out about her. And she's 15 years old now, and she's just an amazing part of her mom's life and the world and the queer community, and we are super lucky to have her. And I found her mom's post just the most gorgeous and wonderful highlight of this young person's amazing activism and her amazing, groundbreaking push to get what she fully deserves and shouldn't have had to fight for. So her daughter is Trinity Xavier Sky Neal, and she is part of Black history, and she is going to likely have her children's book, My Rainbow, published by Coquila, which is an imprint through Penguin Random House, hopefully by fall of 2020, according to her mom. And so if you are looking for someone to follow, to find information from, and you want to learn more about Black history, this month could allow you to learn more about this specific amazing young woman. So if you go to Facebook, you can follow DeShanna Neal. And she also has a blog called mytransgendergirl.blogspot.com. The blog is titled Through Her Eyes. And so there's lots of Black history on there. There's lots of specific Black history about the trans community and about her experiences as the mom of a young Black trans girl. So I was really also really driven to include this in anything that I did for the show, because so often what we hear about trans women of color is the violence that happens to them, the end of their lives. And though some of that can also be a tribute to them from their friends, from the people who are unwilling to allow them to, for example, be misgendered after they've passed, it means that a lot of the ways that we see trans women, and particularly trans women of color, is through the ways that their lives end. And there are amazing women who are working to change the way that the world views trans women, activists like Janet Mock and Laverne Cox. And there's amazing trailblazing people who are growing up right now. And imagine how much easier it's going to be for the girls who come after her. And so it's really exciting to see such a positive and touching and amazing tribute to this young woman's place in Black history in this month, and in particular to see a positive portrayal of lives that are too often seen only through a lens after they've experienced some sort of negative reaction from the world. So, strong feelings. So, check out mytransgendergirl.blogspot.com where you can see DeShanna Neal's blog called Through Her Eyes about her opinions and her views as a mother of a young trans daughter, and also some of the lovely Black history that she's posting. And particularly this month, she's posting figures of Black trans history and highlighting the people who have came before her daughter. So, gorgeous things to see. So, I also want to highlight some different resources that you can look to for information for this month. And if you're looking for just a place to get started, if you really want to get a chance to appreciate different types of Black history and you're not sure where to go, particularly for things that affect a very specific group that often faces very complex issues, like Black people who are at the intersection of gender identity minority and sexual orientation minority, there are some places that you can start. So I've talked about Mackenzie Mack on the show before, and Mackenzie Mack is a non-binary activist, artist, educator, consultant, has really done amazing things every new month that I see what they're up to. And so I wanted to direct you to their page and their work, because if you're specifically looking for a way to, for example, engage with the Black community and learn to, say, downplay your privilege and things like that, Mackenzie Mack does a lot of education and things on those topics. So you're able to see amazing articles that they've written on a number of different topics. So not just within activism around gender minority issues or Black issues, but really a broad base of activism and writing on different topics. And also, of course, they do some courses that are specifically on things that are related to their profession. So things like writing copy with equity and accessibility. So things that are useful for people who are bloggers and coaches and life coaches and things like that in a general sense, and also for people who specifically want to do it better with how they treat certain groups. So I also wanted to highlight Mackenzie Mack's page because they did something that is super cool and voluntary recently, and you'll understand why I said voluntary in a sec, where I had shared a post about Black history and suggestions for how people can engage with it this month, and Mackenzie had highlighted an issue with one of the resources within it. And this is important because when you're already an educator and doing all this work, additional things like even just pointing someone in the right direction are extra work and extra time. And so when Mackenzie highlighted that there was an issue with one of the resources, I did a Google, you know, is this person transphobic? Is this person homophobic? Where to get started? And here's the important part that I wanted to share about that experience. My first instinct was, of course, to just ask them what they meant. But they are already busy and have already pointed me in the right direction. So do a Google, do a search. People write on these things, people highlight issues, and so if it's already out there, make the effort to find it before you ask a Black person in your community to do the work of educating you, because it's not their job to help us be better. It's a lot of extra work and emotional labor, and often people who are already experiencing the burden of being marginalized are also reached for on issues of how to educate and improve on marginalization. So one of the reasons I wanted to highlight Mackenzie Mack is because they are doing work that you can go and pay them for. So go and appreciate their articles that are out there for free and the work that they're doing. Definitely appreciate that. Share their work. Get it out there in any way you can if you don't have the money for it. But also, if you're interested in learning, I'm never going to direct you to go to someone and ask them to do labor for you for free. And that would be an ironic way to treat Black History Month. And of course, pretty shitty. So my point within this story is that I did a Google, and then I was very conflicted about asking Mackenzie if they could elaborate, because again, like, they've already done the work of letting me know that. And you're asking someone to take the time, even if it's to search up a resource, to tell you. So I would have been happy with, you know, some words of direction or something. So it took me some time to write it out in a way that I felt comfortable with, because I really wanted to be careful not to impose on their time. And that's something that you should really be careful of during Black History Month. And if you are looking into resources like I am for Black folks within the LGBTQIA community, who are already probably dealing with a lot of extra work that they're putting out on a regular basis in terms of things like education. So I asked Mackenzie, they did share a link with me. They have been, I get all fangirl when someone that I follow, and especially activists that I look up to, engage with me. So when they've like responded to me on their posts before, I've been like, so excited, because that's just how I am. So I was super excited that they'd gone to the trouble of commenting. I was embarrassed that I couldn't find the resources myself, and they were kind enough to direct me to them, to a resource that highlighted the issue. And I'm not going to get into what the issue was on the show today, because it's not related to queer Black issues. So my point is, go and appreciate them and other activists, and make sure that when you are trying to learn and trying to better yourself, that you don't add to their burden. So, I have a couple of final points that I want to talk about. And one of them is another way to learn more about the Black community in Black History Month. And that is to follow certain resources on Facebook. And so Mackenzie Mack, who I just mentioned, can be found on Facebook online. You can find Deshanna Neal's blog and her other work on her Facebook page as well. So those are good resources to start with. And if you go and look up the Black Canadian Network, you can also follow them, and they post a lot of resources that are related to commemorating and celebrating Black history and Black work that's going on within Canada today. And this is a really important one that I wanted to mention, because often one of the issues that gets downplayed within celebrating, for example, people who are within different fields and within different communities within Black History Month, is that there's so many people in America that we can default to highlighting famous people from within America who come up very quickly as examples for this kind of thing, or whose work has been given more attention. And this is something that I handle regularly on the show, because I don't want to be ignoring the Canadian community in any way, the Canadian LGBTQIA community as a whole, and Canadian Black history. So if you go on Black Canadian Network on Facebook, for example, you will find different resources and posts about Black history. And you can also find some that, of course, overlaps with Black history and LGBTQIA history, which is the topic of the show for me this month. So one of the articles they have up there right now is about transgender pioneer Jackie Shane. And that's something that I'm going to be talking about on the next show as well. And I did realize, too, that next week is reading week. So not the week that we're in right now, but the week after. So I'm definitely going to do a few more shows than the ones in this month. I'm going to do at least one more show after this month, focusing specifically on queer Black history, because one of them is in reading week and people won't necessarily hear it as much. So I have so many feelings. So there's that. So I hope that you'll check out the Black Canadian Network. And before I sign off, I wanted to also highlight a wonderful ally that I meant to bring up within my allyship episode. So I'm a little bit of a nerd. I don't do cosplay myself, but many of my friends do. I have a very talented friend named Karen, who does amazing cosplay. And I follow an amazing cosplayer on Ebony Warrior Studios on Facebook. Like amazing, like pieces of art cosplay. And he posts about his process. He posts about things that don't work to help other cosplayers. Like, he's a super inclusive, build your community kind of person. Because cosplay is an expensive community, and it's people who really are doing it for the love of it. And so I super love how he engages with the community. And that's what originally brought me to his page. Now, the point of this is that there was some transphobia on one of his posts, And he responded to that and shut that down immediately. And he will not stand for any transphobia within his page. And it just really, it was such a small thing, but I had messaged him to thank him for it. Because when you're trying to appreciate different areas and different forms of art, for example, you're going in communities that you don't necessarily know their views on LGBTQIA people. And when someone has a lot of followers and a lot of fans, things like homophobia and transphobia crop up. And sometimes they kind of maybe go unnoticed, or at least I don't see a visible response to them. And so this is really, it's difficult because it means often you don't see a visible response to transphobia or homophobia unless it's in specifically an LGBTQIA inclusive space where people, you know, respond and say that's not allowed here, but it shouldn't be allowed anywhere. And so to see someone I really love and respect as an artist respond so quickly to transphobia and shut it down was just amazing and exciting. And it was such a small thing, but it made me feel so much more comfortable in following his page. And because my heart just sank when I saw the transphobia on the comment. And then I think, you know, if this person doesn't respond to it or doesn't respond well, like, I have trouble seeing someone's creations and art and stuff positively when, you know, they don't respond to things like that. And so I felt really worried and taken aback and concerned about how this person that I admired would respond. And so he responded really well and really explicitly and very firm. And he made it clear that essentially that fans and people who followed him who were LGBTQIA wouldn't have to worry about that shit happening on his page. And so that made me super happy because I know a lot of young queers who are also nerds, and I want them to be safe and happy, and not even safe because I think people see this wrong, like, oh, you can't be safe on the internet. But like, I don't want them to experience virulent hatred when they're just trying to engage with an activity that they enjoy. I don't want them to have to go to special areas in order to avoid people being vicious about who they are. And so Ebony Warrior Studios is it's something that's a great example of how to respond to that in a way that really just makes sure that your fans know that that you're there for everyone to engage with. So Xavier Conley is an amazing cosplayer, and so check out Ebony Warrior Studios and keep that in mind for allyship. It matters. LGBTQIA people are watching. Even if you don't have to be in an LGBTQIA forum for us to be present, because we have interests too, and it makes a difference to us when we see people respond and make it clear that hatred towards us won't be tolerated in their area. So that's it for me for today, and I will be back next week.